Hi guys, welcome to the 9th episode of Social, the Power of Relationships. I'm Jason.
And I am Josh.
Today we're going to, this is going to be kind of a random conversation. We're just kind of winging this one because there's a couple of things that we wanted to talk about last week that we didn't get to.
Yeah.
And so that's what this is. The first thing is we wanted to cover is the, how do you handle a conversation with someone who is just so negative, and like, how do you bring, how do you do that? So I can start us off if you want, Josh. Do you have,
go for it. I have, some thoughts jumbling around in my mind. Maybe I'll be able to kind of articulate them, but what do you think?
All right. So when I'm in a conversation like that, where this person is being very negative and it is just basically draining my soul, and I want to bring value to them. So that's the first thought that always comes to my mind now is like, I know this person is looking for a connection. They're looking for value and they need that love.
Yeah.
So I need to give them some.
Right.
I don't have, most of the time I don't have the energy to just spend my entire night with them. I'm thinking still of like, we're at a group setting. So it's, and we're there to connect and to build our own emotional energy. And if we're with this person who is so negative and so draining, it's not going to be good for our own value. So we need to somehow give them value in some way, and then walk away from that conversation and how that's done. So the way I do it is I first listen to them and make sure that they feel that value from me, and I empathize with them. It's like I ask them questions about the experience that they're sharing with me. Normally, my questions are directed towards ways that they can be more positive in the way to look at it. But I don't really give them any advice because most people are not looking for advice unless they're specifically asking for it. So I just listen and ask some questions, and those questions are directed in a way to help them think a little more positive, like, how could you handle that the next time? Or, why was it so hard for you? And then from there, I look in the conversation, I look for things that I can value, things that I can praise about them. So it's like, and if it's not in the conversation, maybe it's in the clothes they're wearing, or maybe it's, maybe it's in something else. I'm looking for anything that I can praise them for. And because if I can say that was a really good thing that you did there, or I really love that shirt you're wearing, that quote on it is just so cool. I love AC/DC, that could be something that they're wearing. Then that also sends them a sense of value, like they're from there. And then when I've given enough that they're smiling, or I can feel the energy from them has gone a little more positive, then I look for ways to introduce them to someone else in the room.
Okay.
So I might even just bring them along with me while I look for a new person. So it's like, hey, that person over there looks like they need someone to talk to. What do you say we go over there and talk to them?
Yeah.
So I'll bring them with me, and we'll introduce ourselves to a stranger, or to someone else that I don't know, at least. And then I'll probably direct the conversation to something about the why we're there to begin with. So it could be a talk or that someone gave before we were socializing. It could be a game that we were playing, whatever the case may be. That's normally where I started off. And I introduced myself like, hey, I'm Jason. This is so-and-so, how are you doing? And so that's the third person. We get this third conversation going. And as soon as those two are talking, then I slip away. It's like, oh, I'm gonna go grab a snack, or mm-hmm. I'm going to, I see someone I want to say hi to, yeah. and then I slip away.
Yeah.
That's normally how I do it.
That's great. I think that, I mean, you have a strategy.
That's it's a little complex these days.
Well, it because it's a tricky situation, I think, sometimes. I think there are a lot of factors that are at play in, mm-hmm. in those moments. There's great value, I think, in just listening, like you were talking about. I mean, so you're asking questions. I think that sometimes asking questions just to understand. So let's see, there's a little PSA video made about empathy from Brené Brown that I think that I might have referenced a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But in it, she talks about how basically we, you know, we're uncomfortable in a situation where somebody has expressed something painful, and our immediate or initial reaction is to try to fix it, you know, and this is the kind of comes back to the age old question or like conversation between men and women, and men always try to fix things.
It's not about the nail.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've seen it. It's funny. We'll link that, that in the show notes, that, yes. that video is pretty good, but we oftentimes, not just men, but women too, oftentimes when somebody shares something really uncomfortable or really painful or really negative about their life or whatever, we feel like we need to fix it. We need to make them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop the pain and make them feel better. And Brené in this little video says that, you know, a response can rarely make something better or fix something. What makes it better is connection. And so I think kind of in a way that's what empathy is really, is just is listening with a genuine desire to understand and to care that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And with some vulnerability yourself, ourselves, so that we're not trying to fix it or necessarily offer advice, but that we're listening and we're asking questions to try to understand for them why something is difficult for them or how painful it's been for them. And I think that after we have listened and they have spoken and we've heard them, you know, our response can be, I mean, just listening itself shows that we care,
mm-hmm.
shows that we're interested, shows that we value them, and
right, and that's,
that we love
that's
them.
Listening with asking a few questions
yeah.
in there, because there's a difference between listening and then, because you can be listening, but then you're actually not listening. You can zone
right.
out, and you're
trying people, to think of what to say next.
Yeah, or, trying to think of what to say next, exactly, and people can sense that. And
yeah.
asking questions or restating what they're saying
yeah.
In your own words
yeah.
is showing that you're listening.
That you're trying to understand.
That you're trying
you're
to
engaged.
Understand. That you're trying yeah. to listen. You're trying to engage. And doing yeah. that just a couple of times is enough
yeah.
to let them know.
To help them feel
yeah.
heard and listened to. And I think that I struggle with this a lot because I'm really analytical and I've had my own problems in my life and my own challenges, you know, emotionally and things that I'm somebody who's a believer in there's a cause to everything and mm-hmm. and if I can understand that cause, I can make changes and I can change. And I've done that to a large degree. And so
yeah, and I'm a strong believer in that myself.
Yeah. And so I tend to naturally say, well, hey, look, you're feeling down. I used to feel down. Here's how I don't feel down anymore. You know, and so that I try to kind of offer advice when it's unsolicited.
Unsolicited. And yeah, and I've done that too. And I found there's an approach, and I found this actually just recently that's really effective. And I take this approach in two ways. I'll start with the first one. So I found this approach while talking to this gentleman who is actually fairly quiet.
Okay.
And he's very quiet, so he doesn't talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to connect with him because I could feel that he was down, mm-hmm. that he wasn't happy. When I go over there and say, how are you? He's like, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And I remembered a few things of what we had talked about previously. He liked video games. So I was like, what's the video game you're playing this week? Mm-hmm. And he shared a little bit about his video game. And that kind of, that small talk opened him up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I could feel the a little bit more positive energy, but he was still struggling with something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was sixth sense or not, but I sense that maybe it could have been something social.
Okay.
So I then, to keep the conversation going, because he's quiet, I figured yeah. I can talk. Yeah. I can build the energy here. So I start talking about something I'm struggling with in yeah. the social setting.
Yeah.
But I don't give him how I'm going to fix it. I do in a sense. So I'm trying to remember what what it was. It was, I think it was dating. It's like, I started talking about how frustrated I was with dating yeah. and how hard it was to ask girls out and how 50% of the time they say no.
Yeah.
And how, just so difficult to deal with this.
Right.
I ended it with, I think what I'm going to try next is I'm going to at least ask a few girls out. I'm going to be more aware of what their body language is. You know, I don't exactly remember what I said, but I did remember. This is what I'm going to try next, and to see if it's going to work. I don't know if it is going to work, but it's what I'm going to try next. Yeah. So it's not. I'm not telling them what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm telling them what I'm struggling with and what I think I might do next.
I think that there's a lot of value in that, especially in just yourself being vulnerable and you saying, man, I've struggled with that too, or here's a way that I'm struggling too, mm-hmm. because it allows them to see that they don't feel judged by you. You're not saying, hey, you need to buck up and feel better. Mm-hmm. You're allowing them to feel what they feel.
Exactly.
And but you're showing that I feel that way too. I feel inadequate sometimes too, or discouraged, and it is, I think, a good way to be able to suggest something that they could do to change it by suggesting it to yourself. I mean, saying exactly. Here's what I'm going to do instead to help myself feel a little bit better. You know, mm-hmm. maybe it'll work, maybe it won't.
And it did a couple of things. It opened him up right mm-hmm. away. I mean, like, as soon as I was done sharing that, he was like, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And just, it finally got the conversation going. I found what he was struggling with, or one of the things he may have been struggling with. Uh-huh. And he also gave suggestions, which was awesome. And I said, thank you so much for those. Yeah. I'm going to try them. But what's more important is, since he's giving suggestions, he's also giving himself advice.
Yeah, because he's engaging in the conversation.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I love how you said it, where it's being vulnerable, sharing what you're struggling with.
Yeah.
And the reason it's really hard to share what you're struggling with, I've wrestled with that concept of, like, how do I share what I'm struggling with without being negative?
Right.
Because I don't like to leave someone negative. Uh-huh. So that's why I now actually end with a potential solution that I'm going to try. Mm. And because I'm leaving it in a positive note of, this is what I'm struggling with, but this is how I'm going to try to fix it.
Yeah.
And that leaves it at an upscale.
Yeah.
It's like seeing that dude who has the car and he's trying to jump the like seven cars, you know, yeah. he gets up in the air, but you don't know if he's going to make it or not. And that's where I end the conversation, is on that up note. It's like, we'll see what happens.
A possibility.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's an interesting conversation, because I think that there are a number of ways that we can do it. I think that the underlying principle is that we show empathy for somebody. It's that we actually care. I think that today, I was reading in my scriptures today, actually, about basically the idea is that it matters if our heart is in in what we're doing, right? So, like if we pray but not with real intent, then it doesn't count. Kind of
that's right.
An idea, and I think that the point is that if it's all about sincerity, it's about if we're faking it, people sense that, and it influences the conversation for a negative. But if we really sincerely care, means we feel love for a person, that we feel that we care, that they're hurting or that they're feeling negative, and we let that drive our response. So that may be something as vulnerable as just saying, you know, I really admire you for this or for that. I admire you for being honest with me and brave enough to share that. That could be hard. Or saying, and sometimes, you know, this can feel a little awkward or uncertain, but saying, I love you to somebody, even if you don't know them very well, you can say, I feel love for you right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It all depends on the vibe, like
right,
how you're feeling around them and what
correct.
You're comfortable with.
Yeah. You don't have to push it that far, but you could find another way to say that, you know, man, I'm feeling a deep feeling of compassion for you right now. I feel that moves me, that makes me feel something that you shared that, and I thank you for that, because I think that in that way that when we're able to be vulnerable and open about how we're actually feeling, and we're not faking it, and we're not just trying to like move this person along and try to, you know, placate them, pretend like we're listening, and then move them along so we can go on to something better. Mm-hmm. But if we're actually feeling a genuine care for them and saying, you know, that if we can be then vulnerable and open and honest with them with our feelings and say, you know, I really appreciate you sharing that with me. I really feel a deep feeling of compassion for that. That makes me feel sad that you've experienced some of those things, and thank you for being honest and open with me to share that. You know, that can help to make create a more positive feeling, even in kind of like a negative topic.
It is,
the feeling can become more hopeful.
Exactly, you're spot on there. That's what you can say. You can also use your body language as well. Like physical touch does that a lot of hold, like a handshake as well.
Yeah.
You add a handshake to that thank you.
Yeah.
Really adds more oomph to that approach. Or I've had some influential people.
Influential people
in my life where I've shared some things with them. Or I haven't even shared anything with them. They just come up and they grab me. They grab my like elbow to get my attention. And they're like, you look great today, you know? And that touch, and because of the intent behind the touch, I could sense that they loved me, you know? Or I've had people that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
It's important that they're comfortable with. They've come up and just like grabbed me by the shoulders and give me like a 2-second massage, you know? They're like, you're awesome today type.
Right.
There's that type of approach, that gift.
Yeah.
It was almost, we should talk about that. And we'll talk about that in the future of the different kind of gifts that we give, either through our body language, physical touch. Gifts, affirmations, service. And these are different ways that we can show value to them.
We show our love for them. And like you said, I think it's important to kind of read the energy of it, because some people don't like physical touch, or they don't, you know, they're uncomfortable with it. And so sometimes you can't know that. And so I think I like to try to err on the side of just assuming that they're a human being, and physical touch in some way, maybe not a hug, or maybe a handshake or a pat on the back or something, probably will make them feel loved. Maybe not, but you know, unless they tell me otherwise, you know, I don't know. But I think there's a lot of of aspects to this conversation, but just the basic principle, in my opinion, is just not faking love or concern for somebody, but actually showing and feeling concern for them, being nice being kind, listening to them, asking questions to try to understand. And you don't have to fix it.
That's right. You don't have to fix it. You just turn around and show gratitude for them. That's really all you need to do.
Yeah.
And that tends to, maybe it doesn't solve the problem, but it does bring value and it does brighten up their day.
Yeah.
And that is the key. That's where we're trying to aim for is to brighten people's day and make them feel love and respect and valued.
Right.
Yeah. So there's one more thing we got to talk about in this episode. I had an experience the other day. So I have different groups that I love to hang out with, with different groups of friends. And in different group settings, I act differently.
Yeah, sure.
Very differently. Yeah, so I have groups where I tend to be the leader of that group. And then I also have groups where I tend to be a wallflower in that group. And this last week, I was in one of those groups where I'm naturally kind of a wallflower because there's some personalities who are much more passionate than I am.
Right.
And more extroverted. And anyway, so I was at this event helping to film this project. Mm-hmm. And I have this great friend named Jake. In fact, I actually mentioned him in the book. Mm-hmm. And we were filming this this event. I've been trying to, before I left, I decided I want to try to step into an extrovert approach. Maybe not the speaker of the group, but at least the wingman, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't... I'm referring to the five roles we play.
Yeah.
And if you haven't listened to that episode, we'll leave the link below in this. But there's five roles. There's the organizer, the speaker, the wingman, the wallflower, and the loner. And normally I tend to be the wallflower. And in some groups I'm the leader. And sometimes I'm even the speaker. But in this particular group, and it's one of my favorite groups, I'm naturally the wallflower, and it's very hard for me to like get in any other position in this group naturally. If I try to push it, everything gets awkward and just weird. Uh-huh. And what's really cool is this group of friends, they even support me. They even kind of push me in that setting of, okay. Yeah. Or they start rapping, you know, and it's like, now Jason, go. And I'm like, I don't know how to rap. But I love the opportunity that they give me, even though I stumble across it all the time. But okay, so I wanted to try to be like a wingman to my friend Jake. Uh-huh. And I just could not do it. Like the way he thinks and how fast he talks is so different than how I think and how I talk. At least when I'm around them, I get very introverted and I start to beat myself up naturally. And I'm constantly catching myself doing this now. And I constantly have to stop and tell myself, that's exactly what I'm doing is like, why is it that I'm not fitting in type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I have to let go. And start looking for things I'm grateful for in this group. Yeah. And because that's where you have to start. And it was just, I just wanted to share that with you guys of like, we're all still learning. We're all still trying to grow and become the people that we are inside. Like there's a person that we want to be and the person who we are. And we need to be first comfortable with who we are before we can become the person we want to be.
So do you think in this setting, what was your purpose for trying to take on a different role?
Just to see if I could do it.
Okay.
Because I always like to stretch. I want to improve myself in any way I can.
So do you feel like it's an improvement to be a different role?
In a different role, I feel like it's an opportunity to play. And if I can take up the role comfortably, then yes, it is an improvement because I've been able to be more comfortable in my own skin in multiple scenarios.
So do you feel like the reason that you haven't played that role is due to an unhealthy aspect of your belief system. I mean, is it a fear-based thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely think so. Because when I'm around these great friends of mine, I start thinking about how amazing they are and how much I wish I could be like them.
Mm.
And then that puts me completely on the wrong side of the thought process, because now I'm thinking about all my flaws and how I wish I could be something else instead of being grateful for who I am.
So do you feel like, because I've done this many times in my life too, where I'm looking around and I'm thinking, man, look at that person. They're the leader, or they're the speaker, or they're the entertainer of the group. And I think, I wish I was like that. And I think that there's two different factors there. And one of them can be healthy, and one of them can be unhealthy. And one of them is, so fear of it. Like, if I don't do it because I'm afraid, then I feel like that's kind of an unhealthy situation. And so doing it would be healthy to me. You know, it would be showing growth, and it would be saying, okay, yeah, see, I'm doing something that's difficult for me. However, and there's this other part of it to me that says, well, do I devalue my natural personality and my natural state and say I'm not good enough until I do, I'm able to change roles? Does that make sense? And I think that can become an unhealthy. So then I'm saying I'm pushing myself, I'm striving to achieve this thing, but it's out of a sense of fear, saying I'm not enough until I achieve this thing. I'm not enough until I become this, if I take up this different role. Whereas I think that the approach, like kind of what you were just saying, is about letting go of the feeling of I'm not good enough until. It's about becoming completely supportive of yourself exactly as you are, completely accepting of yourself exactly as you are, love yourself exactly as you are, show compassion with yourself, so you're enough right now. You are enough right now. And then at that point, when we can get to the point where we believe that we are enough right now, I think what it does is it starts to let us live without fear. And then we'll see what happens. So then if I become a speaker of a group, then that's because I'm living more fulfilled. I'm more fully expressing my own true feelings and my own personality.
That's
but it may be that you would find that you still wouldn't become a speaker of the group, and that is totally perfectly wonderful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
It kind of like went on this crazy like
thought
journey.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think that's one of the things that I was struggling with is just being accepting of myself that I am enough without having to be something else.
Right.
And that's something that I've been slowly coming to terms with within this group of friends is reminding myself that I am enough the way I am, that I don't need to be anything different to be happy and to bring value to this group.
Right.
They already know what I can bring. I don't need to prove myself anymore.
Right.
I don't need to.
You don't need to earn.
I don't need to earn it.
Yeah.
You know, I can just be me.
Yeah.
And just continue to look for opportunities to bring value, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Now, coming from that state, I still want to be the wingman of the group in some form or another. I want to play that role, but I have to, like I said, play it. I have to pretend. I have to make mistakes. And there's a difference between trying to be and playing. A lion doesn't try to catch a mouse. He plays with the mouse. If that makes any sense. That was a quote I heard from a book called The 48 Laws of Power.
Huh.
And he explains in there that great people, I got to find this quote. I'm going to have to come back and
you can put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because it was something that really stood out to me, and the fact that you don't you can put in all your effort into something, but you want to play doing it instead of, it's not about winning and it's not about losing. It's about playing experiencing it. It's about finding the joy in the moment of doing what you're doing, whether you're succeeding or failing at it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of just allowing it to be whatever it is.
That's interesting. So I've followed the NBA most of my life. I grew up playing basketball and enjoying watching the NBA. Right now, there is a team called the Golden State Warriors. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Last year, they broke the record for most wins in a season. They won 73.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Won 73 games out of 82. And this year, they are just, I mean, they just roll through teams. They were the best team last year. They had a 2-time MVP, and then this year they added another MVP. Like, they're unbelievably talented. But their whole premise, their coach is Steve Kerr, who played in the NBA, played with the Chicago Bulls and San Antonio Spurs and other teams. But he is now their coach, and his whole idea for life and for especially basketball is to live with joy. Mm-hmm. And so they cultivate this feeling of joy in and around their team to the extent I think it's been this huge source of energy that they build on. They play loose and fun, and they just go out there, and their whole purpose is to have just as much joy in doing what they're doing as they can. And they are so explosive. I mean, they will just run teams out of the building because they are incredibly talented. Like, they've got great players, and but they play with joy. And right. I think so
it doesn't matter whether they're winning or losing. They find passion in the joy in the journey.
Yeah.
And because of that, they win all the
time.
They
win a lot. That's right. Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's just, it reminded me of that, of what you were just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly the approach I'm trying to develop.
Yeah.
And
that it's okay if you fail at being a wingman. The point isn't to earn value for yourself. The point is to not be afraid. The point is to have an experience. The point is to find some joy in an experience.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And one of the things I've noticed that my approach now to take this is to look for how the other people who play the wingmen in this group, how do they bounce back and forth with the speaker?
Mm.
How do they socialize? What is the conversation? How did that conversation get started?
Yeah.
How is it that they're able to get their emotional level so passionate and so high?
Yeah.
Like, they get so enthusiastic about something.
Yeah.
And they can talk so quickly about that I'm now sitting there going, what? Like, I feel that enthusiasm, but it's all over my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, just like, my eyes are open and wide, and I'm like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're all laughing now, and I'm still trying to catch up with what they were laughing about at the time. But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, because I can be in that setting, but now I'm open to the idea of exploring those opportunities, and now I'm observing how it works. And I've noticed one of the things I have noticed is they allow themselves to be passionate.
Yeah.
And that's something that I did not do in this group, is I wasn't looking for ways to be passionate.
Were you afraid that your passion, because passions are vulnerable.
Yes, they are. I think the reason why I hold back so much is because I'm afraid that they might not be passionate about what I'm passionate about.
They might reject your passion.
They might reject my passion,
yeah.
Which I shouldn't be worried about that, especially in this group that I've been friends with them for years now.
Yeah.
They're not, and I know consciously that they're not going to reject me.
Yeah.
I can be passionate about whatever Yeah. And they may look at me funny. They may like, that's interesting. And they may actually act the same way that I'm acting half the time when they're passionate about something, which is just kind of like, it's over their head.
Yeah.
And they have no idea how to respond.
Yeah.
But it's like, but I'm still bringing value. I'm still raising my emotional energy to be enthusiastic and passionate. And that bleeds into spreads into everyone else, and they start to feel comfortable sharing their passions.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, my main idea or concept that I try to live with in my life, and I'm terrible at it. I'm very bad at it, but it's the thing that I try to build my life around, the thing that I think that is the most important, and that is to live without fear. Mm-hmm. Fear is just our own perception. It's just our own interpretation of events and circumstances, and it's just not really useful. It stops us from doing things. It stops us from being passionate. It stops us from being vulnerable. It stops us from being... It doesn't mean that I have to go out there and like go bungee jumping. That's not really what I'm... I have no desire to do that. But like...
I do.
Well, and that's great. You know, but yeah. It's about living without fear. It's about like not if I did want to do it or if I wanted to just do something else. If I want to go and approach a stranger on the bus, that I wouldn't let fear stop me from just going and making some kind of connection.
That's
right. But I do. I let fear stop me a lot. So it's something I'm really aware of, but I struggle with. But it's something I think is so important, is to learn how to live without fear. Live. So there's only two ways to live, right? Out of fear or love. And if we can learn how to live with love, it changes our entire life.
Oh, it's true. So true. That actually reminds me. Oh, we're definitely going over.
Oh, that's all right.
But that's okay. That reminds me of an experience I had that may help you in your journey.
All right.
I once was selling pest control in Texas.
Okay.
And it was a late night and I was waiting for my ride to pick me up. I was at this park. The park had these perfect little round pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and I wanted to do a backflip.
Okay.
And I felt like this was the perfect location to do a backflip. And I've done many backflips before on a trampoline.
Okay.
But never on the ground.
Yeah.
And, so I was like, this is it. This is my chance.
Yeah.
I want to do a backflip. And I think I'll be safe if I mess up because these pebbles just kind of like move out of the way with just enough weight and force. They can, you know. So if I hit my face, it's not going to be that bad.
Yeah.
So I stood there for a good 15 minutes in a cold sweat going, I'm going to do this backflip.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this backflip. And I bend down ready to do the backflip. And I just like, no, I can't. So I stand back up again. It's like, I'm going to do this backflip. And I couldn't do it. Like the fear just like completely overwhelmed me.
Right.
And I literally was like in a cold sweat. My heart was beating like crazy just because I was thinking, I want to do a backflip. I'm doing this backflip.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was like, I need something to warm myself up. And I knew I could do a backflip with ease off a swing.
Okay.
So I went over and did 3 or 4 backflips off the swing set and then came back and was able to do this backflip. The first time I did smack my face right on these pebbles, but then the second time I got it right on.
Nice.
And the third time I got it right on. Fourth time my face planted and the fifth time my face planted. By that time I was completely out of energy and I had to stop.
Yeah.
But I did it. Yeah. I overcame that fear. But the how I overcame it was the fact that I worked my way up to it.
Yeah.
There was a level of what I was comfortable with.
Right.
And I couldn't break that wall until I worked my way up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how the swing gave me the opportunity to get comfortable and work my way up to it.
To experience some level of success, to give yourself some confidence.
Yes.
Change your energy and your confidence level.
Yes.
That's great.
And the same thing goes with talking to people in the room.
Yeah.
And that's why you start with the people with the same or lower energy than you.
Right.
Because those are the easiest people to talk to, easiest to break the ice. And then you work your way up to other, as your energy grows, also your passion grows, and also you can talk to other people with that same. Yeah. And before you know it, you can just step right into a circle of people who are talking to, and then just strike up a conversation right next with the person next to you. Like, hey, I'm Jason. What's right. your name? You know?
Right.
And anyway, that's another way you can work a room.
That is great. Yeah. Great advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a great conversation. Anything else that we need to cover?
No, I think that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, it's been a great one. I liked the free flowing nature of this one, and to be able to just kind of discuss some of these topics, and hopefully it's been beneficial to any of the listeners out there.
Yeah, I hope this brings value to you guys. If it does, please leave comments. Let us know, and share this with your friends and people that you think this would help a lot, because that's what we're here for. We're here to inspire and empower you, to help you guys be more social so you can live your dreams, because that's what social is all about.
That's right. So you can visit us on our website, socialthepowerofrelationships.com,
mm-hmm.
Or like us on Facebook.
Yeah, that's everything.
Okay.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
Cheers.